Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, today we have finished the first week of the Great Lent. Yesterday, the Church celebrated the great martyr Fyodor Tyrian, and the reason it was because yesterday, for the first time, that we should have had a cooked meal. The rest of the week was dry food. That is the rule of the Church. Now, the pagans' authority decided that they are going to contaminate all the food for the Christians by sprinkling it with the sacrificial blood that they have used for their pagan rituals. And they planned that to make all the Christians to be defiled. But Saint Fyodor Tyrian, he had, of course, understood it, and so he came down from heaven and went to the bishop and told the bishop that tell all your people not to buy anything from the marketplaces because everything is contaminated, and tell them to use the wheat that they would have and at home that was bought a long time ago, and cook them up and make a meal for themselves, and thus avoid the contamination of the pagan ritual. And of course, today is the called the Sunday of Orthodoxy. And of course, you also know that, but I will remind us again of it. Sunday of Orthodoxy is when finally the Empress Feodora and her son, who was still not of age, but she was ruling for him, Mikhail, she had stopped the iconoclast heresy. For years, they were destroying the icons. They were taking the icons out of the church. They were spitting on them, trampling on them, cutting them up, throwing in the garbage, throwing in all kinds of terrible places, and then defiling the icons, saying that it's all idolatry, that we are bowing down to the icons. They didn't understand that we're not bowing down to the paint or the images over the that is painted. We're actually bowing down to who is depicted on the icon, whether it's the icon of the Lord, then we are bowing down to the Lord through the icon. The icon is like a window to see the Lord, the Mother of God, and all the saints that are depicted on the icons. And it's not an idol worshipping. We're not worshipping the icons itself. We're worshipping those who are depicted on the icon. And if it is the Lord, then we know that the Lord was here on earth, and he had made the first icon for Prince Agarin. He had, when the artist came and tried to paint a portrait of the Lord, and he couldn't do it no matter how he tried. And so the Lord called him to himself and taken a basin of water and like washed his face in it and put the canvas or napkin on his face, and miraculously an icon appeared. The face of the Lord was there, and it was taken to the prince, and he got cured from his terrible disease. And then, of course, the Lord also sent him a letter that he should wait until he sends a disciple to him, that he will finish off the job of the curing, because there will be still some marks left on him. And the disciple came later on, and he baptized him, and all the scars had also been gone. And the first icon was done by the Lord himself. The icons of the Mother of God was done by St. Luke. He was a doctor, a medical doctor. He was also an artist, a very good artist. And he painted the first icons of Mother of God. And not one, but several. And he showed it to the Mother of God. And she approved it. And she said that the grace of the Lord and her grace will be with those icons. And this is how the icon started to become. But the heretics decided that they were going to throw out all the icons. And they got the backing of the emperors. And it was a many, many martyrs were done because they were trying to protect the icons. And of course, now today in the calendar is also we have the finding of the head of St. John the Baptist, the second or first or second finding of the head. And what happened is actually during the time of iconoclasts, the head was also hidden so that it would not be defiled, because they not only destroyed icons, but they also taken out relics and also destroyed them, many of them. It was a terrible time in the Christianity at that time, because they didn't understand what Saint Basil was talking about, how the saints of the earlier times, how they have recognized and how they have bowed down to the Lord through the icon. They didn't bow down to the icons, but we are bowing down to the Lord or the Mother of God or a saint who is depicted on those icons. Nowadays, of course, we have a terrible situation. There is an organization, it's called the World Council of Churches. And there, as you know, it's like an organization that's united all the heresies, including those who cannot stand the icons and feel the same, continue to feel as the people that were fighting the icons in the early days, except that nowadays, they're not so belligerent, and they say, well, you can believe any way you want, and you want to worship your icons, idols, we're not going to do it, but we're not going to cause you any harm, because they don't have that kind of power that they used to have. My beloved, what is the our day? Why is it terrorist war? It says it is the victory of the Orthodox, because during the time of the iconoclasts, the churches, Orthodox churches, they were, so many of them were just destroyed by the frescoes and the icons that were taken out from the churches, and they made the buildings cold, as it is nowadays in many Protestant places. And they just didn't understand that icons are not idols. We are not bowing down to the icons themselves, to the wood or the paint or the print, but we are bowing down to whoever is depicted on these icons. If it is the Lord, we're bowing to him. If it is the angel, we're bowing to the angel. And it brings us closer to them. So what are we going to do now? We finished 1 week. Some of us were not able to keep the strict fasting as it was supposed to be, with dry food, and some of us had broken the fasting in different ways because of sickness, and they may have been absolved by the priest, because the church allows the sick people to be absolved from the fasting. And even though, of course, the saints didn't want to hear about it, like St. John of Kronstadt, when he was so sick that the doctor said that if he doesn't eat proper food, then he's going to die. And St. John says, well, I can't do it. I can't break the great fast. And then they said, well, then you will die. And I said, well, I will ask my mother. If my mother will bless me to break the fast, I will do it. And so he sends, or they sent a, at that time, there wasn't no email. They sent a telegram. Telegram, something like that. And it came back, and his mother said, no, do not break the fasting no matter what. And he kept the fasting, and of course he got well anyway. So the Lord had protected him. And that is faith. The faith does that, my beloved. Well, we have now, first week is over now. We are going to have another 5 weeks before the Passion Week, where this time, let us use the time to cleanse our heart. Let us use the time to get rid of all those things that are not becoming Orthodox Christian. And let's not only curtail the wants of the stomach and the food, but let's also make sure that our tongue doesn't speak those things that shouldn't be spoken by Orthodox Christians, or the eyes would not be looking at the stuff that we surely shouldn't be looking, because it will just contaminate the heart and all other senses, the body, that it will not be, we will not treat it as an our own idol, that we have to pamper it and make it feel good. Let's be tough on the body. Don't forget, the Lord had created a human being in likeness and image of himself, and he had made him out of the earth, the body, and gave his soul, and then he breathed his spirit also into him. And the spirit, so we are made out of three parts. We're made out of the body, soul, and the spirit. And the spirit, of course, always wants to be with God. And the soul, it has other interests. It can go here and there. It can be siding with the body, or it could be siding with the spirit of God. And many times it just looks for entertainment and for something to take away their unhappinesses or their boredom in this world. Where does the boredom come? The boredom, my beloved, comes from the lack of the acknowledgement of God's presence. When we lose the sight of our God, then of course the spirit is unhappy, the God's spirit, because it wants to always to be with the Lord. So it's not right for us to try to entertain ourselves, to get rid of the boredom, or to go to malls sidetrack, not to look at our Lord. You know, He is everywhere present and fills all things, and yet we, so many times, most of the time, we believe that He doesn't exist. He is not here, and of course we couldn't do that if we were even in a society. If we come to somebody's house and we know somebody important is there, and we wouldn't dare to turn our back to that important person, but yet we do that all the time to our Lord. Our mind, and most of all the heart, is not with the Lord all the time. For the better part, maybe in the morning and the evening when we say our prayers, we are looking for our Lord. But most of the time, maybe sometimes when we sit down and eat, and after the meal we talk to our Lord. But most of the time, we're occupied with other things. And we have to try to use the Great Lent. That's why in the Great Lent, we have the intensive intensified services. The services takes many, many hours a day. On the average, I would say probably at least 7 hours a day we have the services in the mornings and at night. And of course, the psalter reading. And during the regular time, not during the Lent, and of course not on the week of the Pascha time, we should be reading the Psalter once for the, in a week. We should read the whole Psalter, but during the Great Lent, it's twice a week we are reading the whole Psalter, or should be reading the whole Psalter. Now, if you or I am one of those who have not gotten to the Psalter and have not did this tradition and are able to go to attend the services in the church, let's try to at least read it at home and try to feel the prayers that King David had in the Psalter. And if you have and there's Saint Ephrem Syrian who made the prayer that we say during the Great Lent, and he has also written a psalter that is structured something like the Psalter of King David, and it is a beautiful piece of work with all prayers and with bringing us to the great humility. For without humility, we cannot conquer the evil ones. Without humility, we are only being tricked all the time by the enemy to be going away from our Lord and lose the sight of our Lord. And if we have humility, then we are drawing the grace of God to ourselves, for God resists the proud, and at the same time pushing away all the evil forces that otherwise are absolutely want to attack us and want to make fools out of us. My beloved, we have these weeks to, in the church, follow the Lento Triodion and follow and look and try. If you not can't be coming to church, use the Lento Triodion if you have it. At least read and try to pray all the things that are prayed in there. It'll be a great help for our spiritual growth. And of course, then as we go on, and we intensify the prayer, and the heart becomes cleaner, and the grace of God is making us lighter and lighter, and we become so unapproachable, and finally to the demons, they wouldn't dare to come to us, because our soul will have the Spirit of God covering it with a great light that is fearful to the demons. And we'll be able to find peace. The Lord said for us, be humble and meek in your heart as I am, and you will find rest. Well, you and I'm sure we want to have rest. We don't want to be irritated and angry and have fits of anger or any of those things that are disturbing us. We want to have that peace and that joy. Not only peace, but the joy comes to us, my beloved, when we are with our Lord. So let's try to cling to our Lord and hold Him in our heart and not lose sight of Him. And then we'll be able to sustain that joy and the peace no matter what happens. And we'll be able to come to the time of the Passion Week where we'll be co-suffering with the Lord, and then we'll be able to rejoice in the Pascha time as we have never rejoiced before. And that joy will stay with us until the time when the Lord will take us to His kingdom, and we'll be going there willingly, and because we will look at everything in the world as not that important. Most important thing would be always to have the attachment to our Lord. Amen. God bless you.